Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Sachs. And thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of there, where we walk by faith and not by sight. In this 15-minute empowerment, you are going to be encouraged in your walk of faith. You're going to be encouraged in your everyday life and the situations and the circumstances that you go through, because you're going to be able to see the Word of God manifest in your life as you begin to grow spiritually in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and apply the Word, walk by faith, and believe and stand on it. As you obediently do this, you're going to see the manifestation of God's strength, His will, His life in you, and you're going to see yourself growing in God, growing in the revelation of who He is. You're going to see yourself depending more on the Word than depending on your own flesh. You're going to see yourself running to the Word of God for answers instead of trying to come up with them yourself, because the process of our faith is a process that's going to continue until we see Jesus. That faith that that is being processed in us is that faith that is growing from glory to glory, height to height, depth to depth. It's going to be growing in you, and it's going to be expanding in you so that you have the faith that is able to see mountains removed, that you're able to see the manifestation of miracles, signs, and wonders, that you're able to see the power of God operating in your life and the manifestation of His love and His grace. You know, we will always sometimes want run after the power of God, and we want His power because it's the power of God that gives us the ability and the strength and the authority to stand against the enemy. But the love of God is greater. And it's greater because He so loved that He gave. And in that love, it stands greater and it stands bolder and it stands more confident than anything else. And for us to practice that love and believe God in that and to show it day in and day out, that is powerful. That you grow in a miraculous way when you're able to walk in the love of God and you're able to demonstrate it not to just those who you know, but people who don't even know you. You're able to show them that compassion. So as a leader, God will develop your love. He will develop your mercy and your grace, your patience. He will develop all of these things in you to get you ready for where He's taking you. And He'll use your everyday life, everyday situations to start that process and to remind you that you must rely on Him, that you can't do it in your own strength and your own power, but it's in His. And as you rely on Him, He will always make your way perfect. He will always bring you to the place where you see the demonstration of His power. You will always see the manifestation of His will in your life. Now, it may not be what you want, but it will be His will, and it will be done, and it will be the way that God sees fit, because He knows how to get the fruit out of us, the best out of us, and to mature us in Him. We've been looking at in the Word of God in 1 Samuel, Unlikely Place of Blessings. We've been on this study since last year, and we've been looking at different people in the Bible who are in predicaments that it looks unlikely for them to be blessed, to come out, to see a turnaround. But God chooses that place to bless them, and not only them and their household, but the whole nation. And He works in them in such a way that they develop a confidence in God, and they develop a relationship of intimacy in God, and they grow and they mature in God. And their name is in the Bible for us to study and read and grab all the nuggets, because they did something that God wanted to be recorded, so that we have something to look to, an example that we can understand and apply to our everyday life. So we're going back for Samuel, and we're going to look at David again. We're going to look at his process. David was God's man. He was chosen by God and not by man. And so David had a heart of God, and he's here at this place where that which was spoken about him is being tried. Saul is after him. He goes to Samuel, the prophet who spoke over him, who anointed him, who calls him the next king. And he goes back to Samuel, who represents the Word. He goes back to the Word. And he allows the Word to speak and comfort him. And that lets us know that whenever we are facing situations, we have to go to the Word. We have to go back to what God says. We've got to get in our Bible. We've got to cling to what the Lord is saying and know that what He's saying to us is right, is perfect. And if we trust Him, we're going to come out on top. We're going to come out the way He says. Now, we're looking here, and Saul is after David, and we want to talk about Saul just a few minutes more, and we want you to understand something, that the sin and the sadness of Saul's life goes from 1 Samuel, the 13th chapter, all the way down to the 31st. We're going to see how, because of his sin, it's a snowball, and it basically puts him in a position that everything that he had done prior to going after David is nothing, because people remember his sin. They remember his fall. They remember how he did wickedness, but they don't remember too much what he did prior to that. So we have to be very, very careful that we don't allow sin to fester in our life, that disobedience and rebellion does not fester in our lives, because it will cause a snowball effect to the things that we know God wants to do in our lives. And you have to remember that even with Saul, the Lord gave him the opportunity. He said, if you do this, these are the things that are going to be yours. This is what I'm going to do in your life. So he gave him the opportunity to choose. He gave him the opportunity to change. He gave him the opportunity to trust him and not rely on the strength of the people to be popular in the sight of the people, because we can tell that Saul was going through self-esteem problems, and because even though he was head and shoulders above all the other men, when he was chosen to be the king by the people, he runs and he hides, and they have to find him. So in him there was a problem that he saw himself as insufficient, because his tribe was the smallest. He saw himself as weak. He saw himself as not fitting in. And, you know, the tribes may have made him feel bad. We don't know, but we can tell from his behavior that there was something there that he did not feel adequate enough to do what God has called him to do. Now, we know that we never in ourselves can feel adequate enough to do anything that God said. That's why we have to trust him and lean not to our own understanding and acknowledge him in everything that we do, so that he can get the glory, honor, and praise. But to go and hide after you've been chosen and you knew that you were chosen prior to the people finding out lets me know that there's something in him that had not been healed. We have to be careful whenever we're in leadership that we don't allow things to fester in our life where areas that are unhealed, that we allow the enemy or our flesh or that to lead us in a place or put us in a place that we're acting more out of that place or for the praise of people or for recognition more than we are for pursuing God and his divine will. We have to make sure that we really, really seek to do God's will and we stay the course. Now, when we fall, we got to run straight to the rock. We got to run right there and find that grace and mercy that is ours and repent so that God can give us what we need, that grace so that it can cover us and it can keep us in the place where we're pursuing after God's perfect will. Now, in 1 Samuel 13, verses 5 to 23, Saul's sin for choice was that he assumed a priestly role and offered up sacrifices before the battle. He walked in a place that he was not supposed to walk in. He assumed that he could do it just because he was the king. And you have to be careful that you don't walk in something that you are not called to do just because you've done some other things in your life, because God has used you, or because you may be talented in other places. Don't assume to take a position or posture that God has not qualified you to take. It was not Saul's job to give the sacrifices. It was the priest's job to give the sacrifice, the prophet's job to give the sacrifices. And because of that, the consequences of that was that the prophet Samuel announced God's choice of a new king. He could not make that. He could not give the sacrifices without Samuel being there, but he had already started in making bad decisions but not obeying the will of God. In the 14th chapter, Saul's sin of choice was that he made a foolish oath. And basically the sadness of this was that he turned the people against him. The people just basically turned against him because of his choice, because of his decision. And you don't want the people that God is entrusting you with to begin to see you in a light other than what God says. Leadership is something important, and when you lose that respect of leadership, it is very hard to get it back. It is very difficult to get it back in the eyes of some people. They're not very trusting, and they feel like leaders should be held to a higher standard. And even though we are human and we are walking under the anointing of God and the grace of God and we have the same struggles as everybody else, people feel like you're supposed to be a super conqueror and you're supposed to just never have any problems or never have to go through anything and always have the answer and always be on top. And your human side lets you know that that's why I have to depend and rely on God, because when this anointing lifts off of me and after preaching, then I have to basically be able to walk out this soul salvation with fear and trembling, just like the congregants. I have to seek after God and run after him and pant for him and get a word for myself, not just for the congregation, but I need to know that God is talking to me, and what he's saying to me is relevant for where I am and how he's moving in my life and the things that he's telling me that I must do. So that was the thing that happened. The next thing was that Saul disobeyed God's instruction by not destroying Agag. And that right there was when Samuel announced, the consequences was when Samuel announced God's rejection of him. So, you know, he had to hear from the prophet that anointed him that God no longer wants you. The next thing that he did, he personally tried to kill David. And the consequences of this was that he was overcome by fear and evil, an evil spirit. He then tried to kill David again. He tried to murder him. Then he tried to kill him again. And he was tormented by this evil spirit in the 19th chapter. And further down in the 19th chapter, he continued to his murderous campaign against David. And he became jealous and fearful of David. He tried to get his son Jonathan to go after David and to assault David as well. And the result of this is that he became violent towards his own son, Jonathan. The next thing that he did was he ordered the priests to be killed, the priests of Nod to be killed, because they basically helped David. So he ordered them to be killed. And we know that right there was totally against the will of God. And what happens, the consequences of that is that he slipped further into madness and depravity. He slipped further into this place of going deeper and deeper and deeper and not having a heart to repent. His pride would not allow him to go and repent before God and truly turn. So we see that pride in itself will cause people to err, and they will feel like they're right and justified in their actions. In the 28th chapter, we see that he visited the witch because Samuel was dead and he needed to hear from God, and he couldn't hear for himself because he had not repented, he had not gone to God and asked for forgiveness or asked to be cleansed or gotten his heart right with God. And what happened was he became terrified of his future death. He knew that he was going to die, and he became very terrified of this fact. And in the 31st chapter, he basically commits suicide, in which a man as great as he was died a shameful death. He fell on his sword because of fear. He was injured, and he did not want to be captured. He wanted his one of the armor bearers to kill him, but they would not. But that's what happened because of this place where he allowed pride and the place of praise of people and his own mind and his own unhealed places to drive him to a place where we see his life and the accomplishments of his life not be shown and demonstrated the way that they should have. And we have to be very careful that we don't allow the same things to happen to us. The Bible lets us know that the Old Testament is a schoolmaster for us, not for us to look at it in a way that is wrong, but it looks to look at it and embrace, okay, we need to understand this, that we don't fall into these same snares and traps, that we do not allow these same things to happen, because there's nothing new under the sun. Everything that we see in the Old Testament, we see modified and manifested here in our lives today. We see the behaviors and conducts of kingdoms and kings and people within the Bible, righteous and unrighteous, we see the display of what they're doing. You see how they acted in the Bible. They're just doing it in a more moderate way. They're doing it in a more modified way now, but it's nothing new under the sun. So it's the same thing, and we're supposed to take this Bible, eat, and apply this to our everyday life so that we don't fall into these same snares and these same traps. And it happens in your own mind and your own thoughts first. It happens within you, and then it spreads outside of you, because the enemy is going to come with a thought, and it's up to us to reject that thought, rebuke that thought, pray against that thought, fast and pray, and get in line with God's will, because if we continue to walk in that sin and that thought of that gives force to manifest something, it's going to produce something other than righteousness, and we don't want that. We want everything God has for us to be done in our lives. I'm Pastor Cheryl Saxon, and this is all we can do for today, and I pray that this 15-minute empowerment has encouraged you in your walk of faith. We'll be back tomorrow with another 15-minute empowerment. Be blessed and know that you are conquered through the blood of Jesus, and keep that heart purified, knowing that as you do, God will bless and exalt you.